Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio on the Friday before ISTE. It is the 21st summer solstice, 21st of June, 2019. Happy summer to everybody. Enjoy the solstice. It's a cool day, or actually a hot one. It's beginning of summer. Anyway, we're thrilled to have a wonderful guest with us today, Jessica Gartner, who is the CEO and founder of a magnificent company that helps school districts with their finances. And it's called AlloView, A-L-L-O-V-U-E. And it's at AlloView.com. Pardon my voice. Excuse me. And you can learn all about them by going to AlloView.com, or you can just listen to us here. Jess is with us. And this show was presented by our good friends over at the Center for Education Innovation. Okay, Doug Roberts, who is the founder and a wonderful group that mixes superintendents and district administrators, all right, with everybody in the industry, people like Jess, all right, and other companies, et cetera, to make sure that everybody knows what's going on. Doug Roberts founded the Institute for Education Innovation, and it's instituteforedinnovation.com. You can go over there. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. That is our website. Follow us on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio, and on Facebook at EduTalk Radio. LinkedIn is EduTalk Larry. All right, and please check out our magazine, All About Equity. It's an online journal. It's doing great. We're proud of it. It's called Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity in Education at ace-ed.org, all online, and you will be impressed. ACNE at ace-ed.org. Without further ado, let me bring on Jess. And also Doug. And today it is ladies first. Jessica, welcome to the show. I'm Larry.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure to have you. Yeah, I have heard only wonderful things about you. As I was telling people, and people found out I was going to do the show today, and I owe you it with you, and I owe you an apology. I thank Doug immensely for bringing you on the show, that we haven't done shows before this, because it's really cool, Jess, what you do. Okay, and
thank you.
Great. Yeah, well, I mean it. It really is, because it all boils down to money. When everything's all said and done, it boils down to money. All right? And you tell people how to spend it and spend it wisely and make sure that they have enough for everybody and that every kid is being educated. I think it's wonderful what you do. AlloView, AlloView.com. And it's R-O-B-E-R-T-S, as in Roberts, for Doug. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Larry. Hey, Jess. Thanks for being here.
Jess?
Glad to be here.
Oh, good. I didn't know if you heard that. I was worried for a second. Okay. Okay. Your line is live here on my screen, and I just wanted to be sure we were hearing each other. Doug, it's a pleasure to have you here. We did a great show yesterday with one of your superintendents, okay, the amazing Susan Enfield, over in Highline District near Seattle. Doug, real quick, tell everybody what the Institute for Education Innovation does.
Doug. Yeah, we're convening. We're a group of thought leaders who get together and talk about big ideas in K-12. Our mission is to break down some of the traditional barriers that kind of keep superintendents from talking with CEOs, from talking with investors, with the philanthropy sector.
Yep.
And so we focus on a topic each time we get together, and we actually publish out a position paper on behalf of our superintendents. And we think that's sort of, well, it's a differentiator for us in terms of, you know, we don't just get together and hang out. We actually do work and we present thought leadership ideas. But we also, you know, we believe very much that we want the voice of the superintendent to be heard across the land, but specifically in the halls of Silicon Valley or New York City or wherever people are making decisions about funding
or Baltimore.
Tech companies.
Yeah.
Or Baltimore. Exactly. There's a great, Jess is like the head of the ed tech crew down in Baltimore. We just want to make sure that the superintendent voice is in the mix, because these are the folks who ultimately are going to make decisions about what happens in school districts, and to bypass them, I think, is a fool's errand.
Right. And I think, by the way, it's wonderful for the superintendents. Their voice is important to the industry. But I also believe that the industry has a lot to offer the superintendents. Okay. And everybody
else
involved.
That's what we're here for.
I know. It is so good that you do this, Doug. Again, everybody, learn more. It's the Institute for Education Innovation. Thank you for bringing us the show today, Doug.
And if I could, Larry, we're
Sure.
We're at IEI underscore K-12. At IEI underscore K-12.
On Twitter, IEI underscore K-12. And the website is instituteforedinnovation.com. So everybody go over there, check it out. Okay, back to Jess, alloview.com. Okay, Jess, I want to ask you a question. Tell us about the company, first of all. But I'm curious, what are you? Are you an accountant? Are you an ex-administrator? How'd you get involved in all this? Financing, finances. It's not – go ahead, go for it. Tell me.
I was a middle school teacher. I taught middle school language arts and social studies in Baltimore City. This is actually my 10-year anniversary in Baltimore this week. It was the first time I came to Baltimore. I was a teacher, and then my academic background was in education policy. But I've sort of always been a nerd for finance technology. I don't know why.
No nerd. You're no nerd.
Probably just because my mom growing up was a treasury director for a series of nonprofits. And, you know, I would grow up and be at the kitchen table doing my homework, and she would have these big ledger sheets out. And my dad is an engineer and works in technology. So I always joke that, the two of them around me at the dinner table just kind of, and my grandmother was a teacher. So it's in my blood, I think, at FinTech.
But Jess is a rebel at heart. She did become an ELA and what I used to do, a social studies teacher. Okay, so a rebel at heart, but she went back to the numbers and the technology. That's a wonderful story. And how long has AlloView been around, Jess?
We've been around for about 6 years now.
You have made an impact.
The founding year was a little touch and go. Basically, I decided I was going to jump off this cliff and kind of build the plane on my way down, hopefully. So took a running leap, and I left my full-time job, and I was going to work on this. And of course, at the time, I still had to find some ways to support myself. So I rented my house out on Airbnb. I turned my house into like a little bed and breakfast, which I did until 2 years ago to pay my mortgage and support myself. And then I took just a bunch of part-time jobs on the side. And then in whatever hours I could find, I was doing research and customer discovery on this problem. And I got into an accelerator program locally called Accelerate Baltimore, and that gave me $25,000 in seed funding that I was able to work with some local designers to build out a prototype. And then things started to take off from there.
They have taken off. And I got to tell you, just this week, I work with Jane Radenhausen, who I think you know. Okay. And I was telling Jane that AlloView is going to be on the show, and she just went nuts. Okay, she said, AlloView, wow, you're so lucky. Okay, and she told me not all about you, but she told me about you and your company. And also, I want to make mention of this, and I think Doug's going to be there and be part of this. You have a large conference. You guys, by the way, AlloView now, everybody, when you go over the site, you'll see this, AlloView.com. But there's a full staff working over there. Just doesn't do this alone anymore. It's not a shoestring company. This is a major company in education that's extremely
providing.
Well. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
A lot
Doug,
of jobs
what you
in
say?
Baltimore.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, between the year where I was renting out my house and doing photography and grants writing on the weekend, we have also raised $13 million in venture capital and built 5 products. And we now have a team of about 40 people, and we're helping school districts manage over $12 billion a year. And that number has been pretty much doubling every year.
And you know what's really nice about what you've done? You don't even need a parking spot at work, because you just put on a cape and you fly in through the window, because you are super lady. You are unbelievable. Okay? I really mean it.
I sound like I'm gushing,
but I'm really impressed. I really am when I hear a story like this. I think it's wonderful. Okay, just
the
what you've done.
The irony of your comment is that I don't have a car. I bought a house next to my office, and I bike everywhere.
But the cape doesn't have an S; it has an A for aloe vera.
No cape.
Okay.
No cape. Just a bike.
And Jane was telling me, and I did not know this, and you guys, I want you both to comment on this, okay? On October 8th in Baltimore, you're going to have one of your annual convenings. I think there's been more than one. And according to what I've heard, again, that's why I'm gushing about you, they sell out, okay? And it's an important look, okay, for school districts about their finances. It's a deep dive. And I'll let both of you. Doug, are you going to be there? Let me start there, and then we'll swing it over to Jess.
Yeah, it's Alibu's conference, but I think what's cool about it is that Jessica and Alibu have created a conversation about educational financial technology, and that's turned into a convening, and we're really excited, IEI, to have some of our partners.
You should be.
Our partners are asking us for more opportunities to connect, and so we're going to be bringing a group of our folks to be part of Alibu's Financial Ed, the Future of Education Finance Summit, or FEFS. I forget what the acronym stands for because I've been saying FEFS to everybody, but we're really excited to be part of it.
Jess, what's the acronym? What is it?
Future of Education Finance Summit.
Future of Education Finance Summit. FEFS? FEFS?
FEFS, we call it, yeah.
FEFS. Okay, good enough. And that's October 8th. In Baltimore, and we're saying that aloud. We're talking to a lot of people right now. Who should be thinking about going there?
One of the things that I love about FEFS is that it's a really interesting crowd of people that comes together. So we've had superintendents, CFOs, CAOs, budget directors, board members, community members who are just trying to learn more about it, finance, and be advocates in their state. We have researchers, we have policy folks, we have people from DOE. So it's a really interesting crowd. And I love that because part of our work is about breaking down the silos around finance and bringing lots of stakeholders to the table, because as you mentioned earlier, you know, everybody's affected by school funding and budgets and spending, and it can't just be about balance sheets and keeping the district in the black. It's got to be about strategy, about equity, and those conversations. Yeah, those conversations require lots of stakeholders at the table. So we love bringing all those folks together and having really good conversations about the different facets of this work around the country.
Right, and it sounds to me, and I think I'm right here, that this is not an accounting seminar. And though your company helps schools to manage finances, it's not number-driven, let's break out the green spreadsheets. Type of thing and put a green eye shade on. Yeah, and roll up the sleeves, that type of thing. Like Bob Cratchit.
Strategy.
It's not Bob Cratchit. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And I would offer,
go ahead, Doug,
Larry and Jess, on the
please
on the partner side, companies that should consider going are those who want to talk just about anything kind of strategic or operational with a district leader. Because at FEFS you often get teams of folks from a district and they're coming to think about their overall fiscal strategy. And so any partner, any company that's trying to help a district think differently about how they deploy and implement curriculum solutions, like OER kind of solutions, that would, I think, be a fit. And certainly anybody who's doing anything operational around streamlining processes, this is the kind of talk that Alibu is getting districts to have. And it's remarkable.
It is remarkable, and Bob Cratchit and Ebenezer Scrooge need not apply. Okay, this is tech. This is high tech financing. Okay, and a look at everything that's affected by it, who's affected by it, and giving them input, which is what schools, public schools, are all about. You mentioned this. I don't know if you heard me at the beginning. Oh, go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If I may, too, you know,
sure.
FinTech's been around for a long time. Like, you know, J.P. Morgan and, you know, the big investment banks, they've been doing FinTech for a long time. In schools, we always sort of we eventually get there, it seems, but we're always kind of behind the curve. And
yeah, we are.
Thank God we've got this discussion going, because we need FinTech in our schools, because there's no place where specifically financial inequity plays out in more disastrous ways for the human beings that are involved in the system, particularly the kids that are served, than in public schools. And that's why Ed FinTech might be an answer to some of our woes.
Thank you, Doug. That was well said, my friend. And boy, is that the truth? And speaking of that, that's a good segue. Okay, Jess, I don't know if you heard me at the beginning of the show. I publish a magazine. It's an online journal. It's called Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. And obviously, equity is something you're very concerned about. Okay, it's something I'm very concerned about. And I believe, as you do, that every school district in the country is very concerned about it. And that match, okay, and it's so obvious when it is said, but sometimes it's not said because people have good intentions with equity. But the match of finances to making things equitable matters. Can you go into – you are an expert on this. Can you go in and give a little detail of how you're thinking that and what school districts are thinking and how they can help overcome it? It's the equity question and finances. Jess Gardner.
Sure. So this is a really complex issue, but there are ways to make it more accessible to community members and school-level personnel. And one of the things that makes finance equity really tricky is that it can happen, or inequities can occur, at two different stages. So first you have the way that dollars are distributed to districts as a combination of local, state, and federal dollars. So what does the total district budget look like? And then you have the method with which dollars are allocated to schools, which is the job of the district to do. So there's two different places where people can advocate for equity. One is advocating at the state level for state funding formulas and how dollars are allocated to districts. And this is something that Rebecca Sibilia at EdBuild has been doing a ton of work and advocacy and has built some amazing tools around. And where we focus more of our work is at the district level and how districts can allocate dollars to schools. So traditionally, most districts use a staffing model, which basically looks at FTE ratios or staff personnel ratios based on the student enrollment at the school. And the problem with that is that it really only works if you have a very homogenous population of students with pretty equivalent needs. And as we know, that's almost never true. So the different method that's becoming more popular and is more equitable is to also take into account student needs at individual schools. So even within a district, you might have a lot of disparities in needs from one school to another. And this is part of what I saw and what made me so passionate about this work, because you can have one school in a district with very high special ed, very high percentage of low-income students, high percent of English language learners, or any combination of those. And you can have a school a mile down the road where the population has much, much fewer needs. And so taking those needs into account as you're allocating dollars is a really critical part of funding equity.
It's amazing. And I have to ask you, Jess, you know this, and you're sitting, you know, as the CEO of the company, Alloview, you're sitting, you're looking at this. When the superintendents come to your meetings, do they feel the same way, or is this a surprise to them? What's their reaction to the equity financing part and the effect of financing on equity? What's their reaction or their thoughts as they walk in, however you want to answer that?
As you might expect, there's a pretty big spectrum. There are certainly districts, particularly large metropolitan area districts, that have a lot of diversity in their student population.
Sure.
This has been a forefront issue for a while, and this is something that superintendents are actively trying to solve. And the focus initially has been more on the academic teaching curricular side, but now people are paying more and more attention to the finance side behind those things. But slowly, this is becoming more of a popular forefront spotlight issue. I think in no small part because of the new ESSA regulations around reporting financial data. So under the new regulations, districts have to report per pupil actual spending at the school level. And for many districts, this is the first time that they're looking at their financial data in that way, at the school level. And for the first time, they're seeing that there might be some big inequities there. And on the flip side of that, you can have disparities in funding, but that's not necessarily inequitable. So it becomes a really tricky issue, right? It could be that you have one school that's getting a lot more dollars, but it's very intentional because those students have greater needs. The problem is, and this is a problem that unfortunately we see a lot, the problem is when the schools that are getting the most dollars are the schools with the lowest needs.
Exactly. That's really that old cartoon of equity versus equality. Kids are looking over the fence. Okay, and they all want to see over the fence. Well, if you give every kid the same size box, that's equality, but some kids are taller or shorter. They may not need that big a box or need a bigger box. When you give kids the right size for what they need, okay, that's why one school may be getting more than another if they need it, okay? That's equity. Wow, and this does
– wheels and all that.
Visibility
and accountability – that otherwise, you know, well-meaning people, you know, have probably in most cases, Jess, I'm guessing, they don't realize this is happening.
Oh, absolutely not. It's a very insidious thing. And it's, frankly, a big part of it has to do with teacher salaries and where your most expensive teachers are. It's not like this is done with malintent. It's sort of these legacy funding systems have compounded over time, and then you end up, it could also be that your population shifted, but your funding formula didn't change with it.
Exactly.
And to take your analogy about the fence, the cartoon, the worst problem that we're seeing is not even that they're getting equal funding, it's that the tallest kid also has the tallest box.
Exactly. That would be not good. Okay, this is an eye opener. I mean, what you do, and I love the way fintech, financial technology, ed fintech, okay, educational financial technology. Are you going to be at ISTE, Jess Gartner?
I will not be at ISTE this year, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm going to be there.
IEI doesn't go to ISTE that much, it seems. We a lot of us are not going. I'm not sure why.
I know.
Great.
Yesterday
another
we talked
year,
to Susan.
I will go.
Yeah. We talked to Susan Enfield yesterday, okay, who's not going. And I talked to a wonderful superintendent down in Lubbock Cooper ISD in Texas, Keith Bryant, who also, unfortunately, is not going this year. And that probably boils down a lot to finances as well. So, you know, but ISTE is important, and it is ed tech. Yeah, and we're going to do more about this because I want to talk to Jess about writing for us in the magazine, et cetera. This stuff is just absolutely incredible. Jess, just as we wind down here, we got about 5 minutes left. A company calls Alloview, a school district calls Alloview. What happens?
Well, first, I would try to get a sense of what problems they're trying to solve. Finance is a really tricky issue, and there's a lot of facets to it. So what particularly prompted your call? Is it that you're worried about inequity? Is it that you're worried about the quality of your financial data? Is it that you're trying to empower school leaders with principal autonomy in budgeting? is it that you're trying to look at evaluating the effectiveness of your dollars? Is it that you're trying to share more information with greater clarity with your community? Those are all very different problems that require very different solutions. And because we're one of the few people doing this work,
it's amazing.
It is amazing. I really thought there was going to be more attention on it at this point.
It's amazing.
But because we're one of the few people doing this work, it's easy to kind of lump all finance stuff in one bucket. But of course, there's so many different prongs to this work, and we want to make sure that you're set up for success with exactly how you're trying to solve that problem. And also, some of this stuff has dependencies. So if you're telling me our board is pushing for us to show return on investment or ROI of the dollars we're spending, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, could you even produce accurate financial data today about where you're spending? Because if you can't do the basics, you cannot do the advanced stuff. And I think this is actually where, you know, to put my teacher hat back on for a minute, this is like,
Yeah, but you were in ELA, you were an English teacher.
Yeah, but this is the equivalent of someone coming into seventh grade and saying, you know, we're gonna do a critical analysis of War and Peace, but you're at a second grade reading level.
Yeah.
How well is that going to go, right? So, you know, I totally apply the whole Bloom's taxonomy is built into the Alloview approach. You got to learn to crawl before you can walk, before you can run.
Yeah.
And we have districts across that spectrum. I have districts that come to me who have been doing this work already with other partners or internally for 5 years, and they are on like the advanced level and they're ready to take it to super advanced. And I have districts that come to me and say, our finances are in total disarray. I don't even trust looking at this data, and our chart of accounts is a mess. Like, we got to start from ground zero. So,
you know,
meet you there.
You know, it's amazing. And that's why you're, again, alloview.com, the October 8th convening of FEFS. Okay. It's all on her site. FEFS. Alloview, ALLOVUE.com. Jess, I'm going to have to go to ISTE. I'm going to follow up with you when I get back. Is that okay? I really am so thrilled to meet you. Okay. It's just delightful and impressive. Doug, bring her home. Bring her home.
Yeah, right. See how I'm doing. It's my second ever radio show. Hey,
here we go. Land the plane, Doug. Land the plane.
Yeah, I'm glad to connect Larry and Jess.
Yeah,
this is great.
Unbelievable.
And that's what IEI does. We connect good, smart, thoughtful people, and we're you can check our site. FEFS is also up on our site because we've got sponsors who can come with us to there. But then in January, we're gathering our National Network of Superintendents and our corporate partners. And I want to say, you know, Jessica and all of you have been a great stalwart thought partner, but also partner to IEI since our inception. Many of the ideas that we've put in motion with IEI have come from Jessica herself. And I appreciate all the time she spends kind of giving me her thoughts about how to do this right. And, you know, typically what all of you does at our convening, which is, again, our next one's January 20th in Palm Springs, she'll take the topic of that session. The last one was equity and equality, so we just talked about that. But the next one's safety and security, and I'm sure Jessica's going to have some way for our members to think through that issue through the lens of Ed FinTech. And that's IEI magic right there. That's what we do. We try to get
IEI magic, and I got to say something, you know, and I said it at the beginning, and I say it again now, and this is why what all of you does, and you bring everybody together with this thug is amazing. It all boils down to money. Okay, we can talk about equity, we can talk about safety, but it all boils down to allocating the money properly across the board. And that's what Alloview and Jess, the amazing Jess, does. Okay, Jess, it's great to meet you. I'll be back in touch next week.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having
Thank
me.
You.
Thanks,
oh, my,
Have fun
me, my
Nancy.
Pleasure. Thanks, buddy. I will. It's my hometown, Philadelphia. That's Doug Roberts, Innovation for Education. Innovation. Let me get that straight. Institute for Education Innovation. Okay. Thank you both. Have a great weekend, guys. See you later.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate
you
it.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. What a great show. Thank you, Doug. It's so great to meet Jess. All right. So, wow. Equity. It boils down to equity, boils down to finances. Let's go from there. Okay. Our magazine, ACNE, ace-ed.org. Jess is at alloview.com. Alloview, just like it sounds, .com. A-L-L-O-V-U-E. And Doug is at instituteforedinnovation.com. And his Twitter is IEI_K12. And Jess is Alloview Balance. Okay, we're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. I'll be back with you next Thursday. Enjoy our archive shows. They're all there over at the website. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. I'll see you after ISTE.